see everybody, and I hope that, like Lanny said earlier, I hope that you have all had a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday. I know that our family has. It's always a special time of year, and it's good to see you here this morning. It's a good-looking crowd. Good to see all those smiles out there. If you would, let's pray before we get started. Heavenly Father, we are just so grateful to be able to be here together this morning. Thank you for bringing us here and allowing us to be a family, and to, as we just finished sharing communion together and spending that time together, Father, we're thankful for that and for the songs that we've been able to sing. Father, we're just grateful and pray that you will continue to be with us. Help us, Father, this morning as we talk about living lives of joy, joyful living, Father. We pray that we will put that on our hearts as we begin this new week, Father, that we can live our lives that way. Thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you for all of our many blessings. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I guess a few months ago, I stood before you and I talked about outrageous living. And I'm sure all of you have forgotten that by now. But this morning, what I want to talk about is joyful living, living lives of joy as Christians and as members of God's family. And when you think about joy, you know, joy is one of those words that can conjure up a lot of different meanings for us. You know, when you talk about joy, you can think about, you know, just think about what the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear the word joy. And it can be, you know, jumping up and down and clapping your hands and screaming, you know, like kids at Christmas when they got the present that they wanted. Or joy can be just a sense of satisfaction or a sense of pride that we have, you know, in our kids or something that they've done. You know, that can bring us real joy. Or joy can just be an overall sense of happiness, you know, just a way that we live. And, you know, there's a lot of different sources of joy as well. And we're going to look at a few of those just for a few minutes this morning. One is just the holidays, you know, and we have officially kicked it off with this last week. Thanksgiving is over now, but we have Christmas coming up in 3 or 4 weeks. And so this whole time is just, you know, it's called the holiday season. And I know I've heard Peggy say 2 or 3 times, don't you just love Christmas? You know, she's just excited about it. And it's a good time of year for us. And that time of year can bring a lot of joy to our lives. And being with family. Hopefully, we've all had that opportunity this last week to spend some time with our families. And hopefully, we've been able to be off work a little bit and get that extra time. You know, for me, I enjoyed this holiday season with our family here. But in a way, I was sad because normally my family from Texas gets to come and be with us at Thanksgiving. And this year, they didn't get to do that. So a little bit of my joy wasn't there that I normally get to experience with my family. But we still had a wonderful time. And Black Friday. So how many of you guys got up at 4 or 5 o'clock Friday and went shopping? Don't be ashamed to show your hands. I see a few out there. I don't get that myself, but I know a lot of people do, and it brings a lot of joy to some people. You know, speaking of my family, my mom and my sister went to Walmart at midnight on Friday morning there in Texas where they live, because they had some special thing at midnight. So they got started at midnight, spent a few hours at Walmart, then they jumped in the car and drove about an hour and a half to Longview, Texas, which is where all the big shopping is for them. And they went there and went to the malls and hit all the stores at 5 o'clock that morning. So they spent the whole night for Black Friday, got back home late Friday morning and went to bed. But they had a great time. They really enjoyed it. You know, they're the kind that they start getting the coupon books out and the flyers out and kind of map out the trail the way that they're going to go, so they're sure to get everything. What about when your team wins? I don't know why I put that up there, but, you know, it was a good day yesterday. I know it was for you Vol fans as well, but that's a real source of joy for us. Or when a child is born. You know, as I was putting this list together, that just kept coming to my mind, and I thought about all three of my kids and the different types of joy that all three of those births brought for us. You know, I think about Natalie. And she was the first child, of course, so there was a certain type of joy that went with that. But, you know, just the whole delivering things. Peggy was in labor with Natalie, it seemed like, for a week, but it really wasn't that long. But she started having contractions, but they weren't close enough together, so it took a couple of days. And I know we didn't sleep during that whole time. And then when we finally got to the hospital, you know, turned out Natalie wasn't positioned exactly right, and she kind of went into a little bit of distress. And then the doctor started talking about, well, I can do an emergency C-section if we have to. So then all of a sudden we had that stress and kind of that anxiety that came with it and all that. Well, it all worked out great. They were able to get Natalie in the right position, and she was born. And there was that joy that accompanied like a sense of relief, you know, because we had kind of been stressed and worried. And then with Ben, it was a completely different deal. Ben was a couple of weeks late, so Peggy had to be induced with Ben. And, you know, the big thing about Ben's birth, we were expecting a girl. And I've probably told you guys this story, but our doctor had told us on a couple of occasions that sonograms said that Ben was going to be a girl. So we were fully prepared for a girl to be born that day when Peggy went in and was induced. And, of course, we had wanted a boy because we already had Natalie, so we thought, you know, we need a boy. Well, you can't imagine the excitement when he was born, and it was a boy, because we were fully expecting a girl. And, you know, my dad says he could hear me yell down the hallway that it is a boy, you know, because I was so excited. And so there was a certain type of joy there. And then with Jed, who came along 8 or 9 years later, and he kind of reminded us of what all that joy was all about. We'd kind of forgotten that with Natalie and Ben, and then Jed was that great surprise that came along later, and we had that joy all over again. So it was different, you know, with all of our kids. And then, you know, there's a lot of joy that comes with celebrating a big anniversary, and we got to celebrate our 25th this year, and my in-laws are about to celebrate their 50th here in just a few weeks. And there's a lot of joy that comes with that. I know many of you have been married for many, many years and understand that joy. Well, the type of joy that I want to talk about just for a few more minutes this morning is joy that comes from the presence of God in our lives. You know, David, I think, had a really good understanding of that because of all the things that he had been through in his life. He understood that real joy came from the presence of God. And I'm going to read a few excerpts from you from Psalms chapter 16. David says, "Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing." And then skipping over to verse 5, he says, "Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken." And these last couple of verses are great. "Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with the joy of your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." David understood that joy is not the absence of sorrow, but it's the presence of God in our lives. We're going to have sorrow in this life. You know, things are going to go bad. We're going to lose family members. We're going to deal with illness and struggle. But joy doesn't come from those things. Joy comes from having the presence of God in our lives. Now, there are some places where we find joy in all the wrong places. And I want to touch on those just real quickly. In food, and this is a bad time to bring this up after Thanksgiving. But you know, I found those Shoney's commercials that they're running right now kind of interesting, because if you've seen them, it always deals with somebody that's kind of downcast. And like the one I remember is this field goal kicker that's missed a bunch of field goals. And so they're comforting him. And their commercial is, "Hey, you can come to Shoney's and get a big pile of mashed potatoes and some chicken or whatever, and we'll comfort you. You know, we'll provide that comfort for you." And a lot of us, you know, for a lot of us, there is a lot of comfort in a good meal when we've been stressed out. Hobbies and sports, you know, for a lot of us, you know, if it's playing golf or hunting or whatever, those are sources where we find our joy. And those aren't necessarily bad, but if that's our main place where we look for joy, then that's not the right place. Or in materialism, you know how cool it is when you get a new something, a new car or a new home or the latest new gadget. You know, there's a lot of happiness and a lot of joy that goes with that. But what happens, you know, in 6 or 8 months? That joy's all gone, isn't it? You're ready to move on to the next new car, or the next new gadget, or the next new thing. So we look for that in materialism, and we can find it in material things, but it doesn't last long. In addictions, you know, I don't understand a lot about why some people are addicted to certain things, but I do think that a lot of the things that we're addicted to, and I'm not just talking about, you know, drugs and alcohol and those kinds of things, but those things on our list there that we've already talked about, they're ways that people try to find joy in their life. In our physical appearance, you know, we spend a lot of time and a lot of money on trying to look good and make sure our hair and everything's right. And in our work, you know, before Peggy and I moved out here, I worked for Pier 1 Imports for about 14 years and was a store manager with them. And that whole time, my whole goal in life was to advance with that company and get a bigger store, because that's what you did at Pier 1. You usually started off in a little dinky store in a strip mall somewhere, and you worked your way up and you tried to get one of the bigger volume stores. And that's what I was all about. And I moved 6 or 7 times, moved my family from Dallas to Nashville and back to Dallas and all around that area because I wanted to get a bigger store. I wanted to get a bigger store. Well, in 98, I got a bigger store. I got the Parks Mall store in Arlington, Texas, which is right between Dallas and Fort Worth, and at the time was kind of the flagship store for Pier 1 Imports. That's what I really wanted. All of the big wigs came over there. All the new merchandise showed up there first. All of the new merchandising schemes showed up there first, and that's what I wanted. But you know what? In about 3 or 4 months, I hated every minute of it. I dreaded getting up and going to work because there was so much stress. The expectations were just out the roof. I had all these people in my business all the time. So for the first month or two, I thought it was the greatest thing in the world. But then I realized that it wasn't. And I got to the point where I hated it. And I dreaded getting up and going into work. All of these things we've listed here, and we all look for joy in these kinds of things, but we have to realize they're temporary. They don't mean anything. So where do we find real joy? Where do we find true and lasting joy? How about in our trials? That seems like an odd place, doesn't it, to find joy? But when we look at James chapter 1, James said, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything." I'm sorry, give me just a second. My microphone's coming loose. So what is it about trials that help us to find joy? You remember what we talked about when David said the presence of God is what brought him joy? Well, when we have trials, that's when we want to draw closer to God, isn't it? That's when we look to God for help, and that's when we look to God for strength. And that's when we find joy, because God is there. If nothing bad ever happened, you know, we would, you know, everything's going great. There's no, you know, we lose that sense of trying to look for God, but the trials that come along in our lives are tools and things that we use to keep in God's presence. So we should be thankful for those trials. Even though they're difficult at times, you know, when we get to a certain point in our spiritual maturity, we can actually look at those trials and be thankful that God brought them our way, because during that time, we were able to draw closer to God and be in His presence. Another place to find joy is in our fellowship, our Christian fellowship with fellow believers. In Acts chapter 2, you know, there's that picture of the early church. And it says, talking about the early Christians, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. The key word there is that they devoted themselves to that. It doesn't say that they met on Sunday morning and Wednesday night and that was it. It takes a lot more when you devote yourself to something. You know, I say we got all our college students in today, and I'm just wondering what would happen if they didn't devote themselves to their studies. You know, if they had that big test coming up at the end of the week, you know, and John's got this big test in his engineering class, and he takes about 10 minutes just to read over it. Is that going to do it for you, John? It's probably not going to do it for you. John and all these other guys, they've got to devote time, and they've got to spend a lot of time in that. And that's the same way with our Christian fellowship. You know, it's something we've got to work at. It's something we've got to devote ourselves to if we're going to make that work. And the result is the last part of that scripture where it says, they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. They found joy in that. They found joy in that fellowship together. Another place to find true joy is in service, just in service to other people. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. You know, when I've looked at this verse in the past, I've always kind of focused on the first part of it where he's saying, well, you know, different people have different talents. And different people have different purposes. But all of those different people, their instruction was for one reason, and that is to prepare God's people for works of service. It doesn't say it's to prepare them to be the smartest bunch of people in town, or it's not saying to prepare them to have all the right answers. It's saying to prepare them for works of service. And then the result of that is, at the very end of that we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. The service is what it's all about, and that's where we can find true joy. Well, here's the formula when you talk about service, a real quick and easy, down and dirty formula. First thing we got to do is put Jesus first in everything that we do. Jesus has to be first in everything that we do. And the second thing is to put everybody else in second place. So it's Jesus first, other second, and then we make ourselves last. If we can get those things in that order, then that's where we go and we find true joy through our service. A couple more that I want to talk about is finding joy in God's salvation. And I want to look at another psalm in Psalms chapter 13, where I think David also had a good handle on the joy that comes in God's salvation. He says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me?" I think David's kind of saying that the first part of that is his realizing his lost state, you know, the state that he's in. And then he says, "Look on me and answer, O Lord my God." So his second thing is he realizes his lost state, but he looks to God for the answer. He calls on God, and then the last couple of verses, it says, "But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me." And another verse that I love that I've probably used up here before is Romans chapter 5, where it says, "At just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." When we realize how desperately lost we are, and how utterly hopeless things are without Jesus Christ, when we realize that and then realize that we have salvation from that, that's an ultimate place to find joy. I've got one more to look at here in this list, and that's finding joy in God's grace. In 2 Thessalonians, Paul said, "May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word." Just like salvation, God's grace is a great source of joy for us. When we realize that on our own, we can't do it, and God's grace fills in those gaps where we fall short, and that's a good place for us to find joy. I also want to take just a second to look at the difference that it makes in our lives when we are able to get a handle on that true joy that comes from a life with the presence of God in our lives. And in the first place is the joy that comes and how it helps us in dealing with our struggles. You know, Paul, was the ultimate example of that. In that first scripture there in 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about all of the struggles that he had. You remember the list that he had there? He had been flogged, he had been beaten, he had been shipwrecked, he had been imprisoned, he had gone hungry, he had been on the run, he had been stoned. He went through all of the list of all the struggles that he had gone through. But then in Philippians, when he's starting the book of Philippians, he says, but it's all good. You know, at that time, Paul was sitting in prison, but he said, it's all good because it has helped to advance the gospel of Christ. And the only reason Paul could say that is because he had that presence of God in his life and he had that true joy. Another thing that it'll help is just dealing with worry. You know, dealing with worry when we have that true joy and that presence of God in our life. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Don't be anxious for anything, but with prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. He's saying, don't worry about stuff. You know, rejoice in the things in this life, and leave it all up to God. I think if you could paraphrase that, he's saying, don't worry, leave it all up to God. And that's where joy can help us. And also dealing with loss. You know, that as I mentioned earlier, we're all going to deal with losses in this life. But when we know that those people are in Christ, in that verse in Thessalonians there, it says those who have died in Christ, they go to be with God. And we know that's the end for us too. It's not the end, it's just the beginning. When we pass from this life, that we're going to go be with God. That's a good place to find joy. And then finally, the effect that it has on other people around us. I love the story in Acts chapter 16 where Paul and Silas had been beaten and thrown in prison. And you remember at midnight they were singing praises to God. And there's a little key verse in there that says, and the other prisoners were listening to them. You know? And then when all the stuff happened and the earthquake came and the chains fell off and the doors flew open, you know, and the jailer was about to kill himself, he said, hold up, we're all still here. You know, the prisoners and everybody else didn't run away because of the effect that just the way that Paul and Silas handled that adversity and the way that they handled that struggle, the effect that it had on other people. And, you know, I think that's a good lesson for us as well, to realize that as we go through life and we deal with our struggles, if we can have that real sense of joy, the presence of God in our lives, we can minister to people and we can preach the gospel to people through our struggles, just by the way that we rely on God and the way that we deal with those things. Well, I'm going to wrap up. No, I'm not. Got one more. Finding contentment in our circumstances. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul says, godliness with contentment is great gain. You know, he's just saying, have God, let God in your life, but be content. Be happy in whatever your circumstances are. He goes on to say in there, you know, we brought nothing into this world, and we're not going to take anything with us. So let's not get wrapped up in all of the stuff that goes along with this life and this world, and just realize when we leave here, we're leaving with nothing, and that will help us, I think, to be happy. Well, as we wrap up this morning, and my holiday gift to you is a short sermon this morning, in conclusion, as we wrap up, I hope that we can take from this lesson this morning this thought: the only source of true joy in this life is a life in Jesus Christ. It's the only source. All the other stuff, you know, that tends to bog us down and take up our time and our thoughts is just not that important. And the only source of joy is in Jesus Christ. So as we get ready to sing our invitation song this morning, we want to offer this invitation for you. If you know, if you're struggling with this, or if you have struggles that you'd like for us to pray with you about, or, you know, if you've just not given your life to Christ yet and you want to find this true joy, then we'd like to help you do that as well. So the invitation's open and you can come while we stand and sing together.
And me, he gave his life, what more could he give? Oh, how he loves you, oh, how he loves me. how he loves you and me. Jesus to Calvary did go. His love for mankind to show. What he did there brought hope from despair. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you.
Please be seated.
Our sister Debbie comes just with